Matter before this panel this morning is A210773, Sarah Megan Gallo versus Robert Warren Gallo.
Good morning and welcome for our second oral argument to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. It is December 8th, 2021. We only have one party with counsel arguing before us this morning in this matter. You will have, Mr. Manson, 15 minutes for your argument, as you would if you were in our physical courtroom. If you have any trouble technologically during this time, let us know, because we do want to fully hear from you this morning. With that, counsel, whenever you're ready.
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. May it please the court, Robert Manson appearing on behalf of petitioner Robert Gallo, or appellant Robert Gallo in this matter. This case basically arises from a family law case involving primarily parenting time. As indicated in the record, my client had parenting time that was awarded to him every other weekend, basically Friday to Monday morning, and Wednesdays for about 3 hours after school. This case involves both a biological daughter, Lucille, and a non-biological child, Carter. This appeal primarily involves Lucille, at this point in time, the biological daughter, in as much as we admit that the standards are different for the non-biological child and the biological child. So we're not arguing that the court may have abused its discretion on best interest as the non-biological child. But the issue here is that the mother of the children started to withhold the parenting time from my client that he was court ordered to have. This was done unilaterally by her without any court involvement. Subsequent to that, and I think a few weeks later, CPS then became involved. The troubling aspect is that CPS then advised the mother that CPS trumps any court orders. She took a very active part in keeping the children from my client. She sent letters to the school telling the school that they were not to allow my client to pick up the children. The difficulty here is that there was no open juvenile court case at that point in time, Your Honors. Obviously, if they had opened up a CHIPS petition, the juvenile court does assume jurisdiction, but that's not what happened here. This was basically opened as what's called a family assessment. We go in, we see, we offer services. And that's really not what happened here. What happened is Ms. Farmer went in and basically took away my client's constitutional rights to custody and care of his child with no due process, with no hearing. And again, troubling is told the mother that they trumped the court order. The problem here is that the mother did not go into court for almost a year or more. My client had no contact with the children for a year. He lost a year of his biological daughter's life. He lost a year of the non-biological child. Those are really very significant, as indicated in the case law. Cutting off a party's rights to their children is one of the harshest sanctions that you can have. It would rarely be imposed by a trial court or by a court. It certainly is not appropriate to allow it to occur without a court order, which is exactly what happened in this case. My client did then bring his motion for contempt. And at that point in time, the court essentially found or issued an order that found that parenting time between he and his biological child would likely not cause any endangerment, physical, emotional. So basically, there is no endangerment. The court then went on, as indicated in the record, to severely restrict my client's parenting time. He went from 70 hours down to about 4 hours or 6 hours with the children.
Mr. Manson, maybe you can help clarify the court's orders and what's happened since then, even though I know that's not on the record. So initially, there's the custody order that the parties arrived at originally. And then in March, I think it was, the court ordered that father's current parenting time schedule would be supervised. It seemed like it was the same amount of time, but supervised. But then in September of 2020, the court amended its findings and said that it would be 2 hours on those 4 days of the weekend, Friday to Monday, and then Wednesday. But it says that it remains the same. The parenting time remains the same, even though it seems like it was not just supervised the whole weekend, but just he got 2 hours each day supervised. So I'm trying to understand the court's orders and what happened. Can you help me with that?
We're kind of wondering in a way ourselves, Your Honor. Basically what happened is they cut my client's parenting time back from every other weekend, Friday to Monday morning unsupervised, and Wednesdays, I think 3:30 to 7:30 unsupervised, and cut him back to 2 hours each day supervised. That's what the court did. And this again, as the biological child, was done after finding that there was no endangerment. 518.175 very clearly lays out that before you can restrict parenting time, A, you should have a hearing, and B, that you have to have endangerment or inconsistency, some other things that don't apply in this case. And here, there's no question. The court made the finding there was no endangerment. At that point in time, there should have been no restriction to my client's parenting time as to his biological child. And what the court did is they then restricted him. And in a very confusing statement, when we brought our motion for amended findings, the trial court basically argued that because he had 2 hours on each of the days, that that wasn't a significant restriction. Kind of a unusual and very illogical statement.
Mr. Manson, I think you said the parenting time days remain the same.
But it's 2 hours supervised. I mean, to argue that going from 70 hours to I think 8 hours, you know, in this time frame, and argue that that's not a restriction is pretty absurd, especially when you also then throw in that it's supervised on top of it that my client has to pay for, which limits his ability to see the children because it's due to the supervisor. I mean, there's things that are there as well that make it very difficult even to exercise those 2 hours a day because you have to have the supervisor pay for the supervisor. You know, all of those things have to occur. But in the Clark case, we went from about 14 and a half weeks down to 5.5 weeks. And the court found that was very clearly a restriction in parenting time. And there you even had the reason being that there was a move out of state, there was distance. You don't have any other change of circumstance here. I mean, the court can look at the reason for the restriction. Here, we don't have a move out of state. We don't have, you know, changes in schedules or work schedules. We don't have anything that justifies that cutback.
But Mr. Manson, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, I guess what one of the things that troubles me is when you're saying, look, we should just reverse the district court's restriction of his parenting time with his daughter. Wouldn't it be more appropriate, given the role of an appellate court, to on this issue of the substantial reduction of parenting time, to say, district court, you don't have the support for that in the record, go back and look it again and remand it? And if that's true, what would you think those remand instructions should be?
To be candid, Your Honor, I think this court really needs to reverse. I don't think they need to look at it or have them reexamine the record. This isn't a case where the court made a finding of endangerment and there's not support in the record. You know, at that point, then you could remand and say you need to look at it or the support's not there, what have you. What we have here is we have a finding there is no endangerment. Without endangerment, legally, there can be no restriction. So that's the problem we have here, is what the court did by its own findings is not authorized. In that review of whether or not there's a substantial restriction is a de novo review by this court, if that restriction is substantial, it very clearly is in this case. So I think it's more appropriate in this case for the court to just reverse because, again, we have the finding. There is no endangerment. We have a restriction that, again, has to have endangerment in order to be put in place. So what you have is this court on remand telling the trial court, reinstate the parenting time because you found there's no endangerment. I think that is the appropriate thing here. The court isn't, you know, reweighing thing. The court's basically saying what you did isn't authorized. And it's not a matter of giving the trial court a bite at the apple to try to reconfigure stuff or whatever. What it is to restrict, you must have endangerment. The court has found there is no endangerment. Therefore, there should be no restriction. And I think it's perfectly appropriate for this court to remand and reinstate the parenting time from before, because again, there is no endangerment. There is no basis for the restriction. You know, a remand to say, hey, look at this again, doesn't in my mind make a lot of sense here. If this was a case where we were arguing sufficiency of the evidence to support a finding that was adverse to us, maybe that might make, you know, a little more, you know, legal sense. But here we have the finding, there is no endangerment. So, you know, what flows from that is there should be no restriction.
As I'm trying to understand the procedural history of this, mother moved to suspend father's parenting time. The judge denied that and instead went to Minnesota statute 518.175 and looked at modifying the time and did the best interest analysis under that statute.
Which again, Your Honor, is not the appropriate standard. The standard to restrict parenting time, which is clearly is a restriction, is endangerment. And that's the thing. If we were looking here and this judge had tweaked my client's time, maybe taken away 6 hours or done something along those lines, that may not be the substantial restriction that requires the endangerment, but that's not what the court did here. The court didn't just modify the time. I mean, the court's able to modify the time best interest, but 518.175 is very clear that a restriction of parenting time requires endangerment. And we have a finding from the judge that there is no endangerment. So that's what you have here. This is not The judge is required to use the endangerment standard to restrict parenting time to the level that he did. And
to say that the judge didn't restrict it, just modified it, but that leads to another issue. And if the judge intended to modify and not restrict, the judge had to apply the 25% presumption, which I don't see anywhere in the judge's orders.
That would be as well, Your Honor. But in this case, really, we already have a baseline child parenting time. This isn't a case where he was putting an initial parenting time in place. We had the baseline in there. And this judge cut it back again from 70 hours to 8 hours. And whether or not the restriction is substantial is de novo review by this court. You don't need to defer to the trial court on whether or not that's a substantial restriction. That's a de novo review at this level per Dahl and Clark. And the Clark case was clear that a gradual erosion of parenting time from 14 weeks to 5.5 weeks was substantial and had been, you know, referred back to the trial court. The factual pattern again here is different because there you had other things going in, they moved, et cetera. But here again, what we have is there was parenting time, there was a finding of no endangerment, and then the court restricted it anyway. So again, the request here is to just reinstate my client's parenting time, refer it back. Additionally, my client had brought a contempt motion. The court, at least in part in finding no contempt, was that she had relied upon CPS. That's very troubling as well. She didn't take any action to go to court. She just did not follow that court order. She didn't follow the court order even before CPS was involved. And then CPS comes in and she still didn't follow it for a year. We have somebody not following a court order. And not only that, but no contact between my client and these children. A year of their lives was taken out and away from my client. And the problem with that is that if we, and we'd ask this court to give direction in its decision, that it needs to be put out there that you can't just disobey court orders. You can't say, well, so-and-so told me I didn't have to follow it. CPS has no authority to do that. There is no authority for them to say, absent opening up a CHIPS petition. That's a whole nother ballgame, and that's not what happened here. But what we have here is the court then saying, well, she says CPS told her she didn't have to, which is what occurred. So therefore, she acted reasonably in withholding the parenting time. That's a real slippery slope there. To allow that kind of thought process to occur, to tell people, well, you don't have to go to court to modify these orders. You don't have to go to court. You can just not follow court orders without going to get them changed and just tell us, well, they told us we didn't have to do it. And that's very concerning here. So we're asking the court to reverse that no finding of contempt as well. and kind of for direction in the future, because as a family law attorney, I see this way too often where we have CPS with no authority coming in and saying, oh, you don't have to follow that court order. And that just isn't warranted. It's not appropriate. It's not authorized. And we feel that that needs to be addressed as well. Likewise, there was a willful withholding. My client had to bring his motion to reinstate. So we are asking the court to reverse the denial of attorney's fees to my client. He incurred a lot of cost and a lot of expense in this process. And that was due to the willful disobeying a court order. I mean, you can try to slough it off to child protection, but at the end of the day, she knew the order's there. She could have followed it. She didn't, Your Honors. Especially when you consider that the trial court then made a finding there was no endangerment. This isn't a case where she was even vindicated after the fact. Mr. Manson, I see my time is up.
Do you, if you want a sentence or two to conclude, that's just fine.
So basically, Your Honors, we're asking the court to grant our requested relief. This is really an egregious miscarriage of justice. It just is. You do not take away people's parenting time unless there's endangerment. The statute's clear. The case law is clear. It's what happened here. And they're really, the appropriate remedy is just to reverse, reinstate his parenting time, given the court's finding, and grant that other request relief. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Court will take this under advisement and issue an opinion within the statutory time period. And that is the end of our two oral arguments this morning. The court is in recess.